hear the opinion of Robert Richards. You don't want to just know what I have to say. You want to know what the Word has to say. Amen? Because the Word's what's going to set you free. Billy said right there, she got a word, but it was a rhema word. It came alive to her, and it brought healing into her body. What happens, well, let me just get into the Word here. I'm gonna get ahead of myself. In chapter 11 of Matthew, John the Baptist had just gone to jail. And he was in prison. And so because something didn't go right the way the people thought, you hear me? Because something didn't happen the way that they thought it should happen, they're questioning whether John was really of God or not. That's what the point is. They figured if John was of God, he should have never had to go to prison. Right? So in other words, man's always putting their interpretation in the spin on the things that are going on in the natural because the bottom line is we think we're smarter than God. I mean, that's just the bottom line. We think we're smarter than God. We think that because that situation happened like that, well, that shouldn't have happened like that. That should have worked around a different way. And so John's in prison. Everybody says, that can't be of God. So they're questioning his ministry. And Jesus, you know, goes and he's talking about who John is and what John's done. And I want to pick it up in verse 11. He said, assuredly I say to among you, those born of women, there has not risen a greater one than John the Baptist. I mean, that's a pretty big compliment, right? Jesus himself, the Son of God, saying, hey, so far, the greatest man that's been on the face of the earth was John the Baptist. Now, think about John the Baptist. We don't know a whole lot about John the Baptist. I mean, we know something about his birth. We know he was in the wilderness. We don't know what happened all those years. There's no really anything said about him. We know he came out. He was a crazy man in our you know, natural way of looking at him. He ate locusts and wild honey. We know what he ate. You know, he was different. Huh? Yeah, he was a biker. Yeah. Wore his vest, his leather vest, turned inside out and all that kind of stuff. Okay, so he says, now listen to this. He says, not risen greater than John the Baptist, and he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. He says, there's never been anybody here on earth greater than John the Baptist, but the people that have already gone to heaven or in heaven are actually the least one in heaven is greater than John the Baptist. Jesus is trying to give us a little perspective on the way heaven looks at things and the way we look at things. Okay? He's trying to open up our eyes to see, hey, you guys don't look at things right. Then he says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. He said, from the days of John the Baptist until now. He did not say from Genesis until now. He didn't say from Isaiah till now. He didn't. From the days of John the Baptist until now was not that long. I mean, Jesus and John were roughly the same age. They were born roughly in the same time period, you know. And, you know, he went out to the wilderness and came back in. I don't want to get into, you know, speculating time, but we're not talking that many years, right? Everybody agree with me on that? I don't know exactly how many, but we're not talking about that many. Not from the 6,000 years of history before that, from Adam. If he'd have said from Adam until now, you'd have said, oh, yeah, I mean, in other words, we're from the garden until now, that's a long time, right? He said, from John the Baptist until now. So I'm just going to take a shot here. I don't know if he's talking about John the Baptist from the time that John the Baptist was born until now, or from the time John the Baptist came out of the wilderness and his ministry started till now. If he said if he was meaning from the birth of John till now, about 33, 34 years, 35 years would have been all there would have been. But if he was talking about from the time he came out of the wilderness, you know, and entered into his ministry, you could only talk about maybe 3 years. Y'all theologians kind of agree with me on that one? I'm roughly in the time period. So I'm just gonna take the 3 years. I don't know I'm right here. I'm just kind of shooting here. I'm just saying Jesus is talking about, because nobody even knew who John was, because he's in the wilderness. So when he finally, I'm going to say it's when he stepped out in his ministry, when God called him out of the wilderness. All right, y'all just give me this one tonight. If I'm wrong, we get to heaven. Well, y'all can point at me and stick your tongue out or something. Huh? Okay, that's what I'm wrong. Okay, so 3 years. So Jesus is in this 3 year period of time, something's happened. Pretty quick. In other words, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, made a shift change in the way the supernatural was operating or flowing, or the way God was working with man, or the way God was, however we want to say this, connecting with man. He said, I made a shift change in 3 years. Tell me God can't move fast when God wants to move fast. That he worked all this up to this period of time, and all of a sudden he says, now. Boom. Age of grace came into being. Now, from Adam until, I'm going to say now, John the Baptist, there had always been a different dispensation of grace, if you want to say, with man that God had worked. You know, and you can go back and look in the Abrahamic covenant and the Levitical covenant. You can go through all this major theological discussion, but I ain't getting into that tonight. I want to step off over in here. All of a sudden, he said, there's a new age in here, the age of grace, the dispensation of the age of grace. It's the time when I'm going to come and I'm going to be with man. I'm going to live in man. I'm going to dwell with him. Right? Now, look what he says. He goes on, and he says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. So the violence that he's talking about, suffering, that kingdom of heaven suffering violence, he's talking about 3 years. He's not talking about when the devil fell from heaven and there was war in heaven, or he's not talking about any of that kind of stuff. You with me? He's talking about now. He's talking about, look, guys, there's a change. And the kingdom of heaven suffers violent, but the violent take it by force. And that word violent, what it means is to be forceful. I mean, there's no other way to cut it. I looked at it. It's what it means. It means to be forceful. It means to be enduring. It means to be, it means this. It means to, you know, put your head against the rock and not move. It means to say, this sucker's going to move. To be forceful. All right? The kingdom of heaven suffers violence. And those that are going to be forceful, those that are going to be enduring, those that are going to be, are going to stand, are going to take it. They're going to walk in it. They're going to see it. They're going to be supernatural, if you'll let me say. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. So he said, all that was, all the prophecies and the prophets came about to that period, but then this 3 year period that had to do with that, but now we got something that we're dealing with new. And if you're willing to receive it, he's Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But what shall we liken this generation? Or what is we liken the children sitting in the marketplace, calling to their companion and saying, we played the flute for you and you didn't dance. We mourned for you and you didn't lament. He said, look, guys, the generation, this is what he was, Jesus is saying. The generation right now of those, of the people that are on the face of the earth, while I'm speaking this to you, are just like the people that said, look, we played a flute for you, but you didn't dance. In other words, we did something, but you didn't perform. We
follow the Levitical law. We did the works. We did the fasting, or we did the whatever the law was there, but you didn't do anything, God. Have you noticed that attitude is really, really, really prevalent in the world today? Well, we did this, but God, you didn't do anything. You know, we played the flute, but you didn't dance. We cried, but you didn't cry with us. In other words, the world's always trying to get God to do what they think he ought to be doing. And I want to tell you something, as Christians, we make the same mistakes. We look at situations, we look at problems, we look at things that occur, and we look at them and we evaluate them from a human natural perspective, and then we think, well, this is not the way it should be operating this way. This shouldn't be happening like that, it should be happening like this. And when it doesn't happen like that, we turn to God and say, look, what's going on? We were playing the flute and you ain't dancing. We're tooting our horn and you're not doing nothing. Go with me. He said, the people, look at this. He said, John came neither, in verse 18, neither came eating and drinking. And they said, he has a demon. And the Son of Man came eating and drinking. They said, look, a glutton and a wine bibbler. Or wine bibber. I always say a bibbler. It should be a bibbler. I don't know why. I'd think it should be a bibbler. Maybe that's because I'm just ignorant. He says, and a friend of tax collectors and sinners, but who is justified by our children? Listen to this. Look, it goes on. And then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. Woe unto you, Chorazin. Woe unto you, Bethesda, for the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon. They would have repented long ago. In other words, he said, look, I did perform and you didn't repent. But if I would have done the same miracles in the other town, they would have repented because their hearts were open. Your hearts were closed. That town over there would repent. He goes on down here and he says, and you, Capernaum, verse 23, you exalted to heaven and be brought down to Hades, for if the mighty works which are done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. I mean, think of that. Sodom was the most wicked city on the face of the earth. We read about it in the Old Testament and say, wow, that place is horrible. And he says, Capernaum was worse. And it was worse simply because not of what they were doing, but because they didn't have a heart to repent. They didn't have a heart that was open. They didn't have a heart to cry out to the living God and say, you know, Lord, I'm really messed up. I need to change. They didn't have a heart that when confronted with the presence of God, that they would change. Think about this, church. Jesus said there's a whole new era on the face of the earth. And he said, I'm going to paraphrase all this. He said there's a whole new era on the face of the earth, and the era that is on there right now, I'm looking for people who have a heart for me. And if they truly have a heart for me, not me trying to get me to perform, not trying to get me to do tricks, not trying to get me to do miracles, and not trying to get me to do what they want me to do, but are people who have a heart that beat after me that says, yes, Lord, I'll do whatever you want to do. I have a heart that's open towards you. I remember years ago, I can remember it like it was yesterday, standing in the community building when this church was first getting started. And I remember a pastor from Houston was there and he was preaching. And he was, you know, he was used to Houston praise and worship, fired up church and whatever. And he comes to this little old town of Utopia, goes in the middle of a community building. He's standing there, and there's about 25 of us in this place at night. And he's doing everything he can to bring the best service to us. But, I mean, we're redneck, man. We don't even know what's going on. We've been in total, complete denominational church our life. We've heard no praise and worship music. We've never heard these songs that were being sung. You know, they're singing all this stuff, and we're like, wow, that's cool, but I don't have a slice of that. I never heard that song before in my life. I mean, it didn't come out of a hymnal, wasn't turned to page, 62. I mean, and we're just like, I don't know, man. And I'm just hungry. I'm so on fire for God. I'm just ravenous to just know anything. And I don't want to listen to this man because I know God's made a change in our lives, and there's something going on. And so I guess I'm just sitting, I was on the second row because there was only two. And so I was on the second row. And I remember he was there, and I was just like glued to him, just listening. I guess it was pretty obvious to look at me and tell me that I was just, ravenously hungry. And he looks at me and says, well, young man, you look like you've got a praise report. Do you have a praise report? He said, just stand up and tell us. And I'm just sitting there like. And then it kind of surprises him that I don't get up and say something, And so finally I stood up and I said, well, sir, I'll give you a praise report if you'll tell me what a praise report is. I'd never heard that terminology before in my life. A praise report? What do we? You don't get there where I was from. If it's a praise report, And so the point I'm trying to make is, he thought it was no big deal, but to me, he was speaking a foreign language to me. I didn't know what a praise report was. I mean, we didn't have those in the bars. In the pig pens. The cow pen. We didn't talk like that. Give me the praise report. If he'd have just said, tell me something good God's done for you, I'd have got that. But the terminology, it was foreign to me. Okay, isn't it interesting that we, see, he was not meaning anything ill in his heart, but I had no idea what he was talking about. There's a generation of people out there today, they don't have any earthly idea what you're talking about. If you use any religious jargon to them that we're so accustomed to, so used to, they have no earthly idea, no concept of it, what you're even talking about. Y'all with me? But I want to tell you something. God is the same way in the sense that God doesn't want to speak to us. He's not in this dispensation of speaking to us in such a way that we don't understand what he's talking about. He said, I'm only looking for one thing, a heart that's open to me. That's all I'm looking for. A heart that longs for me. And so saying that tonight, it made me start to think, isn't it interesting? Because we say that, but how do you get your heart to long for God? Or how do you know if you are longing for God? You ever think about that? We say, just open up your heart to God. What do you mean? Yeah, unzip it, unsnap it, and open up your heart to God. Think about that. What he's talking about, what I'm trying to say here tonight is, what he was talking about, the difference of those towns that they wouldn't repent, he's talking about the part on the inside of you that you know very well because it's you. And he's talking about that person. Is it standing up on the inside of you saying, Lord, I am an idiot. I make mistakes all the time, but you know it, and there's no sense hiding from you. And I'm just standing here today and just say, Lord, I know you love me. Your word says it. And would you just use me, take me, just do something with me? There's no sense. I learned a long time ago, there's no sense in trying to hide from God. And there's no sense me not just being honest with him. I mean, y'all may disagree with me on this one, and you have to, I don't know. But I mean, I've talked pretty ugly to Jesus. If I would be Jesus and I talked to me like that, I would have fried me. I wouldn't have put up with it for a second. Because there's times I've been trying to get him to do what I think needs to be done, and it didn't happen, and I don't like it, and I'm over there arguing with him. And saying, Lord, what is going on? Have you fallen off the throne or what? Where are you? What are you doing? And he said, well, oh gosh, you can't talk to him. Well, I'm gonna tell him exactly how I feel. There's no sense going and murmuring to my wife and thinking he didn't hear me. Hello? There's no sense in going out there and not being really honest with myself and saying, well, just keep a straight face. Everything will be okay. You know, just act like you got it. I believe that's getting into the realms of being religious. Because then you put on a face and you put on a pretense and you put on the robe and you put on the sandals and you put on all the little Jesus attire. But inside of your heart, you're hiding things. And what Jesus is saying to this generation right now and to us tonight is simply that, will you be honest with me? Will you open up your heart to me? Will you not be Capernaum? And if you are Sodom, you've seen my work, so repent. Open up your heart and be honest and just say, Lord, I'm really mad at you because things didn't go like they were supposed to go or like I wanted them to go. Lord, I didn't deserve that abuse. I didn't deserve that situation. I didn't deserve that problem. I don't know why it happened, and I don't like it. I've got to tell you all this, that I can't even put words to it, and I cannot describe it. I can only tell you that I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that there's nothing that has happened to anybody on the face of the earth that God will not heal. Okay? No matter how hard the abuse, no matter how hard the situation, how much unforgiveness there is, how much bitterness there is, I know there's no way that there's nothing that God would not heal. But I do know that people don't allow God to heal them. Okay? And I've told you before about the situation where I was driving down the road and I couldn't stand the pain of losing the ranch and losing everything and going broke, and that God just instantly, at a moment, he didn't say anything to me, but it left. And that was like 19. I'm going to take a guess to say about 1987, 6 or 7, somewhere along in there. Okay? And that same instance that happened right there, that moment, has never happened to me since until last week. And God touched me and delivered me again. Okay, now this is what I want to tell you that this blows my mind. I don't know. I don't know why. I didn't. In other words, I'm saying I didn't do anything. I cannot tell you that I played the flute and then he danced. Are you all with me? I can't tell you, well, that night, because I spent 3 hours fasting and praying, God moved? No, can't tell you that. But I can tell you this much. I know that my heart was honest, and I was honest with God for the past several years, just saying, look, there's some things that needs to change. There's some things in me that I don't know. I don't want obstacles in my road. I was telling my wife this morning. It hit me. Okay. Lex and Jeannie, y'all going to get up and you're going to drive back to Sab now, okay? You're going to go out there and you're going to get on the road and you're going to take the highway, and there could be some obstacles. Could be some deer in your way. Could be a hog. Could be whatever. Could be in your way when you're headed home. But you're going to get on the road and you're going to drive, you know, between 60 and 70 miles an hour, and you're going to go home, right? And in 25 minutes, roughly, you're going to be back at your house, right? But what if you had to go home and the rules were, you had to drive. You could not drive on the highway. You could drive, but not on the highway. Okay, well, think about it. You know, they've messed up the bar ditches around here, but you could get through the bar ditches. You'd be a little rough. You'd have to do some all-terraining and get down. But, man, you're going to hit the river right down there. Yeah, there's not much water, but it's a pretty steep bank on both sides, you know. And if the rules were you couldn't get on that side of the river because you might drive on that side of the river, but you ain't going to drive on this side of the river. So all of a sudden you have to figure a new course. And let's just say I gave you a big truck with four-wheel drive and giant tires and, you know, made it a little easier on you. Well, let's just say you got out of here. You got over. Let's just say you worked yourself around and came out over there by the motel somewhere or something, you know, and got out on the road. But then, man, you got a pretty good stretch of bar ditch again, you know, that would be pretty easy to run. But then you know you're going to hit the 4 mile down there. And now you're going to go across the river again. And You know, there's that, and if you can't get down and out, then you're going to have to follow the river, and you're going to go up, and you're going to go through the cedar breaks. And I mean, you may end up having to get chainsaws out and cut your way through or whatever. In other words, you could get there, but it would be a difficult task. Well, what happens to us in life is we're going down God's road, His highway, and the moment we stop our heart from being open towards Him, we got off the road. And now we're in the bar ditch. And you know, you, like I said, you can make it so far in the bar ditch, but you're going to run across more obstacles. And the more obstacles you run across are going to take you farther out into the brush. And you may know the road's right over there, but you know that the rules are you can't get back on the road. And you can still be making forward progress. You'll still be getting towards Savannah, but you're with the chainsaw now, and you're having to winch up the side of the hill, or you're having to do whatever. You follow what I'm saying? How much easier it is just to drive on the road. But that's what we do in life. Every time we let an obstacle get in our heart, whether it's unforgiveness, whether it's bitterness, whether it's jealousy, whether it's just our craziness, our whatever, we took ourselves off God's road for us. He's got a nice road there for us. And what happened to Capernaum was, is Capernaum got there off the road and they got hard-hearted. And miracles are being done. They're saying, we played the flute and you didn't dance. And so their hearts are hard. And so they're not getting it. So they're not the kingdom of heaven hungry and ravenous by violence, taking it by force. Saying, I don't care what I got to do. Rip it out of my heart. I want to get to heaven. Pride. So what we have to do is we have to be people who understand what's ticking in our heart. You know, I've had to learn a lot about myself over the last several years. Because being raised in this wonderful world that I was raised in, living on a ranch and growing up as just a country kid, I didn't realize what was happening to me. I didn't realize that in one sense it was warping me, because I took on a lot of personal responsibility when I was a young man. And that personal responsibility in my life, I set about things that I was wanting to do that it had to be done perfectly. And I was wanting to please my father. And so I was set about all this responsibility on me, and it warped me into a certain way of thinking. Literally, after I lost the ranch and I couldn't go up there and do the chores and the things that I always did every morning, I used to have nightmares every night. And I would have these nightmares, and I would dream that the animals were skinny and hadn't been fed. And I couldn't find the feed, and I couldn't find the bucket, and I couldn't get in there, and they were all hungry. And I would go through this, and I'd wake up in a sweat, and I'd have, you know, it'd just be this nightmare. All because on the inside of me, there was craziness. Because I was trying to do everything perfect. Somebody said the other day, said, all I know how to do is work and make money. I said, all I really know how to do is work. Comes right down to it. I know how to work well. Y'all with me? But there's times in life that you have to ask, you have to take that before the presence of God, and you have to take out your heart and you have to examine it in the presence of God and say, you know, Lord, I'm not real sure, but I think there's some crazy down here. I think I got a spot of crazy in my heart that needs to be removed. Y'all with me? Now I want to say this in closing. Never, ever, listen to me, hear me, never, ever, ever examine your heart outside of the presence of God. You know why? Because you'll examine your heart in condemnation. And when you examine your heart in condemnation, you know what's going to happen? The devil's going to have a field day with you. Never examine your heart outside of the Word of God. Let me put it to you that way. I said the presence of God, I mean the Word of God, the presence of God, who He is. Never examine your heart outside of that. When you're having a bad day, don't get down on yourself and say, well, there's something wrong with me. I'm just crazy. There's something wrong. No, no, no. You're having a bad day. Chill out. Pick your feet up. Read the Word. Worship God for a minute. Get your head on straight. And then talk to the Holy Ghost about it. But if you be people like that, you know what will happen? You're always going to have victory. You're always going to have success. You're always going to have the goodness of God pouring down into your life. That truly is what the violence is, the ability to rip out your heart and hold it before God's presence and say, Lord, I need you to do something with it. The real me. The real me. You're with me? And if you ever feel condemned, it's not God. You're not in his presence, so quit doing that. Stop that exercise. When it's the loving voice of the Holy Spirit that can come into your life and say, can I help you? Noticed you're a little frustrated. Something I can do for you? So I'd sure like to help you. I don't like to see you like this. That's the Holy Ghost. Hello? And when you get like that, hey, I want to say something. Everything will be okay. Amen? So everybody say, I want to ride on the highway. Man, I don't want the bar ditch. That's going to be hard. You may get there, but ain't no sense being hard-headed. And see, depending on how hard your heart gets, then you just stay up there in the hills and cut cedar and trying to make your own way. And anybody says, what are you doing? He says, I'm making my own way. That's what I'm doing. I'm making my own way. I'm making my own way down to town because I ain't going to do it the way they said we're going to do it. I can worship God out here underneath the tree just as easy as I can in church. Okay. Well, you got off the path a little bit and you're out there on the road, out in the pasture, but, you know, glory to God, have fun. Amen? Sure. Matter of fact, you can share a little word, and then you can take up the offering.
Okay. Well, when we're in praise and worship, I just worshiping, I said, well, Lord, what do you want to say tonight to us? You know, do you want us to repent? Do you want us to get at your feet? Do you want to carry us in your arms? Do we just stay back in awe of you? And I just kind of had a vision, and he turned around. He said, jump on my back. He said, I see that you're struggling in troubled waters. And if you'll jump on my back, I will carry you through the troubled waters. And as I carry you, your heart will become broken and contrite, ground like powder. And when you get to the other side, it'll be made whole. And you'll have victory. I think that fits in too, doesn't it? Yeah, cool. God's good about that. Yeah. So put your hand on your offering. And Lord, I thank you that you're an increaser. In the beginning, you started with increase and multiply. And I thank you, Lord, that you honor the faithfulness and willing giving of your saints, Lord, that you bless it, Lord, multiply it, use it for your purposes, Lord. And we thank you that we're all blessed because of it, in Jesus' name. Okay, got the men's walk coming up tomorrow. And, yeah. You want me to get somebody to pray over that? God's Girls tomorrow night at what time? 6:30. Barbecued ribs and right stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is the men's meeting the next week? Whenever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a few people in here that's going to be over at the men's walk, working, going, whatever. We have a few of our church that's going. If you want to send them a letter of encouragement, you can get that to somebody by Saturday, if possible. That'll be going over that way. Oh, man, I wish I could think of Johnny Whitaker's going on there. Alex Stroud. Who? Harley? Culver? Yeah, your worker, right, Justin? The two Chads, Chad King and Chad M-A-T Market? Okay, I wonder how you say that. Anybody else we know? Kyle Rent? No, Kyle backed out today. Yeah. Just heard that a while ago. So, anyhow, anything else? Are we going to pray? All right, Lord, we just thank you for this evening. Thank you for your saints that just came here to be in your presence and learn from you. Lord, thank you for the word that went out and just penetrated our hearts. Lord, we lift up the men's walk coming up tomorrow through the weekend. Lord, that's your walk, and you always show up. You're always faithful. You're always there to bless everyone that's involved. I just thank you, Father, for all the people that you bring there for the different festivities and blessings that go on there. Father, I thank you that every pilgrim that's on that walk, Lord, has an open heart to hear from you. Lord, I thank you for broken and contrite hearts that'll be there. Lord, that you'll move in and you'll do cleansing, and you're faithful to cleanse from all unrighteousness. You're faithful to have those experiences like Robert was talking about. And those sometimes once in a lifetime, several in a lifetime, whatever it might be, Lord. But I just thank you, Father, that you're always there, that they're under that prayer coverage, that prayer dome. Lord, you're mighty and powerful to do almighty good works in all their lives, Father. We just go with open hearts. Just say, use us however you would there, Father, and bless them. Let it change their lives forever, ever and ever, and be with us as we go home on the highway in Jesus' name.